looking ahead to, you know, what you said in the past about the repertoire, how then do you bring these ideas into creating, you know, for example, the upcoming season? How can we see the upcoming season reflect some of this?
So one of the ideas of tone is derived from a conviction that I have that you don't organize concerts irrationally, randomly. You have to have a reason why you're putting something on the stage. So for all the concerts that we do, we have to have a logic. Now, that logic could be educative. So, for example, we're on an undergraduate campus with a community that's 90 miles from New York City. So there's a justification for saying, this is a community would like to hear a live performance of a Beethoven symphony or a Schubert symphony or the Rite of Spring of Stravinsky, a standard repertoire work. At the same time, we want to organize concerts, for example, the series we do at the Met Museum, mm-hmm. right? That's about the visual arts and music, and therefore there's a logic which drives you to the repertory. So the repertory isn't chosen because I like to play it, or a pianist likes to play it, or it is because, or it's familiar to the audience, but because it illuminates a larger theme. So one of the great things about this orchestra is that you have to be able to explain to the players why they're playing this music. And it isn't because the conductor, whoever she or he may be, believes that her interpretation of Brahms is better than anybody else's, you know, and wants to make a mark or make a career. No. The reason is either the audience needs to, or for some reason wants to hear this, or alternatively, because you're making an argument about how music is part of life and relates to things that the audience is interested in. One of our assumptions, and that's why the repertoire choice is so important, is that the audience of today and tomorrow won't be somebody who played piano when they were a child. Won't be somebody who played the violin when they were a child. Maybe it'll be somebody who sang in church, it's possible. But it's more likely to be somebody who is interested in the visual arts, is interested in politics, is interested in global affairs, is interested in science, psychology, and has other hobbies, even, you know, sports, gardening, the environment. They're environmentalists. So how do we depict nature through music? That's an interesting subject. And so people can be brought into the concert hall if you honor what they already know and what they're interested in. You must show respect to the audience. And the way you respect the audience, you can't simply sort of look down on them, whether they're not musically educated. You can't repeat what Leonard Bernstein did so brilliantly, try to explain, you know, how the Fifth Symphony is put together. That's the way you go to your doctor, and your doctor, you say your tummy hurts, and the doctor then tries condescendingly. She explains to you that your tummy is sort of like the sink, you know, it's a drainage system, and what they're giving you is sort of a non-harmful version of Drano to clean. And then they do a kind of a, it's useless information. And even if you go on the internet and try to educate yourself, you can't really educate yourself. So you can't do that, and it's very condescending. The technical stuff of music is great, but it's interesting to somebody who really has an interest and wants to know it. But what about an educated person who loves art or poetry or literature? Well, it's interesting, you know, someone who's a literary person. We did once a concert based on James Joyce. Or Joyce, you know, they like Joyce, or Virginia Woolf, or choose anybody. George Eliot was hugely interested in music. You do a whole concert of music in George Eliot. So suddenly people who love reading her work will say, that's sort of interesting. I'd be curious what kind of music George Eliot liked. Get insight in somebody I care about. It doesn't have to be George Eliot. It can be anything in politics, hugely important. So what's the relationship? This festival we have now, one of the major themes, the relation of autocracy to music. And what does it mean to write music for the state? Well, your only client is the state, essentially. I mean, there are a couple of private people, but basically it's the state. They control the theaters. They control the concert halls. These are state organizations in Russia in the 19th century, and in the Soviet period as well. So the question is, so what do you do? What's the conscience of the artist? What's the conscience of the artist? So that's of interest to a lot of people. Art and Freedom.